Fernando singing his song. All the little birds on Jay Bird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin. Tweet, tweet. Blow, rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock them tonight. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are so happy to have in studio with us today Erica Jensen of the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, and we are going to chat it up in this wonderful month of September. Great to see you.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
Aw, thank you. So, September, What do you think about September? Here we are in a new, kind of a new season, a new month, for sure.
Right. I was going to say, as soon as we hit September, for several reasons, my mind kind of automatically starts shifting into fall mode. You know, kids are going back to school. At Carpenter, our fall activities are kind of right up on the horizon. So, and our apple orchard is just starting out for the season as well. So lots of change of seasons, lots of excitement.
Well, let's talk about the fact that September, things are changing, aren't they, out at the center? Tell us about it.
Yeah, definitely. So the leaves are starting to turn. We've had some acorns and other nuts starting to fall from the trees. You know, we've got a lot of our apples in the orchard are starting to ripen. Yeah, so it's just a lot of excitement. Our apple shack opened this past weekend over Labor Day. So our apple shack, that's kind of our term for the apple store that's at Carpenter.
Yes, okay.
Our orchard store. And so we sell 15 varieties of locally grown apples. Most of them are Minnesota varieties. We right now have Zestar and Sweet Tango and First Kiss, but it's been a little bit of a hard end of summer, early fall with those recent storms. We got some hail damage, so.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's all good. It's, you know, what can you do? But our apples, they're still fine, but they're a little bit more dinged up than they usually are. So they're more number twos as opposed to number ones. But, you know, as the seasons go on, different varieties will ripen and then we'll get more of those in. So, you know, you just, you know, take what you can and go with it.
Go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure that it is a very exciting season. How many different varieties of apples do you have?
We got about 15 varieties, and then some we have some heirloom apple varieties as well. So,
yes, I've tried those before.
Yeah, those are really interesting. Those are they were developed often many years ago, and they were more grown for hardiness as opposed to taste. So, you know, we don't really grow enough of those to, you know, sell to the public, but when we have our apple festival, we'll you know, have tastings out for those. Yeah. But yeah, so we got 15 varieties and they're all specially genetically designed to grow well in Minnesota in this kind of climate. So
fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great time of year.
It is. It's I think I said this about every season, but I truly do think fall is one of my favorites. It's just a great time to be outside and explore nature with a cooler weather. You don't have to worry about heat stroke or anything.
For sure. So I got to tell you, I was very blessed to see something in our yard, and I'm going to show it to you, and you will know what this is. It's hanging on our siding.
Oh, it seems like a pupa of some sorts, or a chrysalis.
Yes. What do you think?
What do I think? It looks like jewelry, quite honestly.
Well, it's very exciting. And yes. So I had planted, because you told me to years ago, some milkweed and some other things. Do you think that's the result?
I think that could be the result. Could be potentially a monarch. Could be some really great moth species. Moths are often under-highlighted. They're maybe not as beautiful as butterflies, but really great pollinators. That's really cool. That's awesome to see in your yard.
So do we do anything with it?
You know, honestly, you kind of just need, you can leave it right as it is. A lot of times these chrysalises that you see this time of year, even if it's cooler, they're doing just fine.
They are. Okay.
Yeah, they kind of take care of themselves and they will remain dormant until a particularly sunny day. And then they'll decide, you know what, today's a good day to perhaps
spread my wings. Okay.
Yep. In fact, we sometimes have people who call us and ask, you know, hey, I found this caterpillar. Like, it's fall. It's, you know, it's 30 degrees out. What do I do? And we just tell them, you know, you can put it under some leaf litter. When it warms up, it'll kind of reactivate, so to speak. It'll kind of decide, oh, time to go about. But it kind of remains dormant in the meantime.
Okay, what now? So those fuzzy caterpillars.
Woolly bear.
They will last the winter?
Sometimes they can. Sometimes they can. They'll just kind of, they'll be dormant. They're not really out there eating or looking for food. They'll kind of just conserve energy and they'll stay hidden. And when
can you explain this process again to me, please? So what comes first? The chicken or the egg?
So it starts off, either moths or a butterfly will lay eggs.
Okay.
And those eggs will become caterpillars. The caterpillars will eat.
Wait, now, how do they become caterpillars?
So they'll hatch from the egg.
They'll hatch from an egg.
Yes.
Okay.
So they'll go from the egg, they'll hatch into caterpillars.
And then will the caterpillar get bigger?
Yes.
Okay.
They'll start off fairly small. They'll eat a lot of leaves. That's where the milkweed.
Hungry caterpillar.
Exactly.
Story. Okay.
The milkweed comes into play a lot. And then, yeah, they'll kind of sidle up, find a hopefully protected spot. And, once they have enough energy kind of stored up, become a chrysalis.
How do they do that, though, Erica?
That's a really good question. I don't know the exact.
Have you ever seen them do it?
I've seen kind of the spinning. They kind of like spin what looks like silk almost. I don't know the exact science terms.
So I'm looking at my chrysalis.
Yeah.
Is there a caterpillar in there?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and it's just like it's kind of just slowly changing.
Because it looks clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. What now?
Yeah, so sometimes it kind of looks like silk. Sometimes it kind of looks like they're barfing up like a gel, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not always glamorous, but yeah.
So my caterpillar climbed up on my siding,
mm-hmm.
and then started spinning.
Spit like from its mouth. Like,
oh, he spit from his mouth.
Yeah. Yes.
He did?
Something
and then
like that,
came
yeah.
up with this?
Yeah. Wow. Isn't Nietzsche awesome?
Yes, it's so awesome.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. I mean, I look at that and I'm like, wow, that could be jewelry.
It is beautiful.
It'd be inspired jewelry.
For sure.
Yeah.
So this will last for how long, this stage?
It depends on the species. Depends how big that species can get. Could be a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it will pop out of here?
Mm-hmm. Usually when it emerges from its cocoon or its chrysalis, usually it's like wet, right? It's got all this kind of like goo and ooze from like being
sure.
in the chrysalis, and it's got to dry out its wings. So that's why you'll see the butterfly or moth kind of just sitting on wherever it lands and kind of just fanning its wings out, not really going anywhere.
Air drying.
Yeah. And then it'll take off.
So in essence, it's almost like they're reborn twice or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, they go through that change while they're in the chrysalis. And I mean, yeah, you think about it, that's a lot of change, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it really yeah. is. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So when this butterfly or moth comes out of this chrysalis, what will he do? Will he fly away?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, we'll fly away, start looking for food. We'll potentially, might be time to start migrating.
Okay.
Yeah, butterflies will butterflies actually undergo migration as well. So we think a lot of times about birds migrating or going south for the winter, but butterflies will do that too. And, you know, not always the same butterfly will make it all the way down to Mexico, wherever. It may start the journey and then it may, you know, lay eggs, and that next generation will, you know, continue that journey down south. And
wow.
Yeah. It's really just an incredible like process, an incredible journey.
And you actually tag butterflies, don't
we
you?
We do. Yeah. Butterfly tags are really neat because they're just like little stickers like your teacher might put on your test when you're a kid. You
really?
Know? Just like those little circle stickers. Yeah, and they just very carefully get applied to the wings. And it's not like you have to be a special scientist to be able to do this. There's, I'm blanking on the organization name, but I believe it's Monarch Watch. You can go to their website and you can sign up to get a tagging kit. I believe the tags are free. And then you and your family can go out and, you know, safely collect monarchs and, you know, tag them.
And then do you register them or something? Or how does it work?
I believe, so I don't know the exact details, but I believe you're given a certain set of numbers for your tags. And then I believe in the website you'll say, okay, these tags number blah, 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 to blah, 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 were deployed, and they were deployed in Hastings, Minnesota
wow.
on this date. And then that gets entered into their database. And then, yeah, and then sometimes you can retrieve, the researchers down south in South America will collect butterflies as well. They'll read the tags and they'll say, oh, we collected this one. This came from this place. And
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Sorry, I got off on
yeah,
this
no,
tangent.
Yeah, no, very cool.
Well, let's keep talking more about the whole fall season.
Yeah, for sure. So another really cool thing about fall, for those in the know, and there's a really good community of people who do this, another thing that comes to mind for me is foraging.
So what I do about 11 o'clock at night.
Right, in my fridge at home. Yep. Bust the Thin Mints out of the freezer.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So if
is it similar to that?
It kind of is.
Oh,
you know, you're looking at your landscape for food options. Yeah. So foraging is this process of collecting food from the wild. It can take place anywhere, but usually when you go, you know, you either do it on your own property or you check in with whatever entity or place that you're foraging at. So if you went to a park or, you know, a Carpenter Nature Center, you'd want to check in with that organization first. Washington County Parks, they do ask for you to have a foraging permit, but the permits are free.
Okay.
And it can only be for personal use. But there's all sorts of food that you can collect off the landscape.
Okay, let's talk about this because I look in my backyard. If I'm just sitting there, I see nothing that I'm interested in eating.
You know, it starts that way. And it's so funny because once you start thinking of the things that you can utilize, like, you'll start seeing it everywhere. So looking at the backyard, you know, one thing I might think of is actually dandelions. People can eat dandelions. You can eat the leaves. You can use them in salad. I've heard taken the yellow dandelion heads and kind of like stir fried them up. Just want to make sure that if you do harvest those, that they weren't like treated with like pesticides or chemicals or.
Well, they probably were if they're in my backyard.
Yeah, so maybe not the ones in your backyard.
Okay.
But I also think of like acorns. So acorns that fall from the tree.
Yes.
So
is that an oak tree?
Yes, that's oak trees.
Okay.
And so they will drop and people can utilize those. I've actually eaten cookies made of acorn flour.
Oh.
They're really good, actually. Take a little bit of processing to be able to eat. Acorns have tannins in them, which is like a compound that kind of gives you that bitter taste, like, you know, in wine and stuff. So you soak them in water, gotta take the outer shell off, and then you can kind of process it to make a flour of sorts. Or there's other ways to eat acorns.
Couldn't you just eat them? Aren't they a nut?
They are a nut, yep. You also want to process them before to just weed out any of the ones that maybe have gotten worms. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you just might want to, you know, be careful.
Okay. So far I'm not going to eat acorns or dandelions. Yeah. What else?
Yeah. So things like crab apples, those are really great. You can use those. We actually sell some of our crab apples from our orchard as snacking apples because they're so cute and they're little. You can just kind of pop them in your mouth. You can also use those for cooking as well. And then like wild plums, hazelnuts, and of course, mushrooms. So
don't you have to be careful of mushrooms, though?
You really have to be careful when you're gathering mushrooms. And I'll say this for any kind of foraging. If you're a first-time forager or you're really new to it, I would actually go with somebody experienced who has done it before.
Okay.
And there's actually a really cool opportunity coming up for that, which I can mention later.
Oh.
Yeah. But I would go with somebody experienced to kind of be your guide and kind of show you what's good, what's not. But that being said, yeah, lots of really cool mushroom options this time of year. We've got chanterelles, hen of the woods, big puffballs, things like that.
Well, what are the ones that just grow after a rain?
Oh.
They're big, giant things that just, like, pop up, and they weren't there yesterday.
They're
not as big as a dinner plate. They're you know, maybe 3 inches diameter.
That's a good question. I wish I was more familiar with mushrooms.
No, I'm just curious.
I'm not sure what those ones exactly are, but...
What are the poisonous ones?
I also am not completely sure on this. I'm not the mushroom gal. I just know
so
about...
So I'm not taking you when I go foraging.
Don't take me when you go foraging. I just know the ones that they hand me
unless
and say,
we
here.
Unless we go to our refrigerator together.
When I go to the fancy restaurants and say, here, have these forage chanterelles. And I said, oh, that's great. You know? Yeah, don't take me.
Okay.
But if you do want to learn about foraging...
I do.
Yeah, we have a really cool opportunity coming up. So this local group, the Hastings Environmental Protectors, are hosting at Carpenter Nature Center this Saturday, September 6th, a mushroom foray.
Oh.
So it's an event that's for members or people who are interested in becoming members in their group or learning more about foraging. It's free, and then they're going to have an expert go around and show you where and how to forage for mushrooms. And you can sign up for that if you'd like at tinyurl.com/mushroom-foray, F-O-R-A-Y.
Okay, well, that's awesome to know.
Yeah.
And how long is that?
I believe it's a couple hour event. It's going to be held, I think they've got a couple time slots in the afternoon, so you can go on the website to sign up. But it's the early afternoon, I think starting at 1 p.m.
Do you think you and I should go together?
Oh, that would be fun. But maybe we'll wait for the expert to kind of point out the ones that are,
don't you think?
Are safe
yes.
to eat. Yeah.
And then we'll take our mushrooms and have pizza later.
Yeah. Well, one of the instructors at that class, Danny Neubauer, is such a sweetheart. He's just an incredibly knowledgeable man about all sorts of things, from agates to mushrooms. And he's actually donated an item, a couple cool items, to our fundraiser auction, which we've got going on right now. So for those who are new, we've got a fundraising auction happening online at Carpenter right now. It's a part of our big fundraiser for the year, part of our gala. The auction is ongoing until September 7th at 7:30 p.m. And there's all sorts of cool items on there, like plants from Bailey Nurseries. We've got how to make a macaron class, or the macaroon, the whatever the cute little sandwich cookies are. All sorts of really cool nature books, and even some like sports tickets for Vikings games and Minnesota Wild games.
Nice.
But anyway, the item that Danny Neubauer is donating is a couple of inoculated shiitake mushroom logs.
Okay, what does that even mean?
Yeah, so mushrooms are kind of different, right? They're not like plants that are grown by seed. They're an entirely different family of organism.
They're
called
a fungi. Or
yeah,
something.
They're a fungi. Yep. And so they spread through spores and through these things called mycelium, which is like kind of these thread-like matter. And so when you inoculating means is that you are inserting like these spores or these mycelium into this like nutrient-rich substance, like a log. So you're kind of getting it all up in there, and then you kind of keep it cool and wet, and then mushrooms start growing out of it.
Oh.
Yeah. So a couple of these items that he's donating for the auction are shiitake mushroom logs. So if you don't want to go out in the wild and forage for your own mushrooms, you can grow them right at home if you want to bid in our auction. All the proceeds raised from the auction goes to supporting Carpenter's mission of environmental education and habitat restoration and outdoor recreation for the community.
Well, how can we learn more about this?
Yeah, definitely. You can go to carpenternaturecenter.org/gala, G-A-L-A. We'll have a link right at the top that teaches you how you can jump in and start participating in the auction. There's, like I said, tons of cool stuff.
This is so fascinating.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Erica, you always bring such great information.
Thanks. At least I didn't bring you a log full of mushroom spores, right?
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Erica Jensen, do visit Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, either in person or online, and take advantage of some of these great things that they have going on. You are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings. Tonight.